What the heck is work camping? How do you go about becoming a campground host? What does it pay? What's an average day like? We answer all your questions in this episode of the Restless Nomads RV Show. Welcome to the Restless Nomads, the ultimate RV show for modern-day rubber tramps and weekend warriors alike. Whether you're chasing sunsets full-time, savoring seasonal escapes, or just hitting the road for a quick weekend getaway, this is your go-to show for tips, tricks, and tales from the road. Join us as we dive into everything RV, choosing the right rig, surviving life on wheels, and navigating the highs and lows of life on the move. From towables to motorhomes, budget hacks to campsite secrets, we've got you covered. So buckle up, nomads, and let's hit the road to adventure, 1 mile at a time. Welcome back to the Restless Nomads RV Show. Just a reminder that if you miss this radio show, or you want to catch it later on, you can do that at goldcountryradio.org. Just click on show schedules and then click on Sunday, and there will be a player right there next to the Restless Nomads RV Show. Well, hey, darling, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing good. Mike and Angie, the Restless Nomads, and we're going to jump right into it. Some RVing news. There's a company called Giant RV down in Southern California.
Is that right?
And they're a regional RV dealer with multiple locations. Now, they have a new program. They are going to donate to the wildfire relief programs for every RV sold January through March. They've had some devastating fires down there. They're going to they're supporting organized relief efforts for temporary housing for displaced families, food, clothing assistance, rebuilding efforts for those who lost homes and belongings, and donations are made in the name of each RV buyer. So that allows the customers to contribute to the recovery efforts with their purchase, and this just highlights Giant RV's dedication to helping Southern California communities recover from the impact of these devastating wildfires. If you want to learn more about that, head to giantrv.com. That's the RV news this week. I think that's pretty good news.
It is, and I think it's good to share with other people so the word gets around.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're wanting to make a difference, then maybe, hey, if they've got the trailer or the RV that you want, go to them, because you've got some of that money going towards the wildfire victims. Well, today's topic, what is work camping? So let's define this, and it can be a myriad of things, right? It's making money, or sometimes even just earning compensation in a different way with your RV, or even some people do it in a tent, I guess, but it's basically taking the camping lifestyle and earning some kind of compensation for it. And there are many ways to do this. One of the ways is campground hosting. Angie and I have done that. Mm-hmm. We've done it for two seasons. There's things like the Amazon Camper Force, where you park your trailer or your RV in a RV park, and then you go work in their warehouse. There's also like the Beet Harvest over in the Midwest. And then there's things like the oil field jobs, where you're just counting trucks and checking people in down in Texas and Louisiana and that kind of thing. And then there's
the hours are long.
Oh, yeah, they are.
However, and they have facilities for you to wash your clothes. And
they do. And then there's the more traditional remote jobs.
The money is really good.
There are the more traditional remote jobs available too. Like if you're doing something that you would do from home on the internet, and you have a good internet connection, you can do that on the road too. So, like Angie was saying, with this the different setups, campground hosting, the warehouse work, harvest work, oil field work, and they all pay a little bit different. Some don't pay at all. Some are just volunteer positions, and you get your site for free. So let's go into that a little bit, the different arrangements that work campers can have. And we'll talk primarily about camp hosting because that's what we have experience in for two seasons. So we've looked at different camp hosting jobs, and we always weigh a few factors when we make the decision to apply for them or not, right, babe?
Yes.
So one of the things that we require is that the campsite is free. We won't ever work someplace where we have to pay rent. Now, some people do. Some people accept a reduced rent in an RV resort or something like that, and then they earn an hourly wage. I hope they earn more than minimum wage, which is typically what you get when the site is free. So that brings us to our next point. There are paid jobs where you receive an hourly wage. A lot of these are seasonal opportunities, and that's kind of what we did. We had the Lava Lake experience, and then we had the Lake Cochise, Washington experience. Both of those, they paid us minimum wage, and we got our site for free. There are jobs out there that are volunteer only, like the Oregon State Parks, where you put in your hours and you just get your site for free. Like the Oregon State Parks, they only require a one month commitment at a time.
We highly recommend that you do not want to get involved in jobs that are dry camping when it's really hot.
Well, I mean, unless that's up your alley, right?
Right. But
we don't do it. We need our air conditioner.
Not anymore. We were in Washington. It was a beautiful place, but I got to say it was really hot. And dry camping was really miserable with that situation.
Yeah, it sure can be. And that's another thing, you know, as far as the site arrangements, what are you getting with your site? Is it a dry camping site or do you have full hookups? If you've got, like in Lava Lake, we had electricity, but we didn't have any sewer or water. So we had to have our water delivered, and then we had to cart our black water to the vault toilet with a Blue Boy through the woods, up and over the hill to Grandma's house with a Blue Boy. And it was a challenge. That was my least favorite day of the week, was emptying the black tank. But you need to kind of pay attention to all these things. Don't jump into it and take the first thing available if you have a certain set of requirements. You know, you're kind of interviewing these concessionaires and park hosts. And we've run into a couple of folks that we talked to, we applied for, had an interview, and they told us what they were offering. I think there was one on the coast, and they wanted to charge us rent for a dry camping spot, and then we would get minimum wage, and we told them to pee up a rope, essentially, because that was not a good deal. And I think I told them that there was no way they were going to find anyone who would agree to that. And that's probably true. They had to adjust their job listing. So that one shall remain unnamed. So let's see. You got anything else on work camping arrangements, babe? There's national parks. They have they've got kind of a mix of volunteers. If you do it directly through the National Parks Service, you're a volunteer. If you work for a concessionaire, most of the time it's minimum wage, and your site is free. So it's actually a better deal to go through the concessionaire.
Right. And do be aware that you will be cleaning bathrooms that are really, really bad.
Oh, yeah. We're
bad.
We're about to jump right into that here in a second.
Yeah. And you might even find some cute little squirrels dead in the water.
Oh, yeah.
And my husband took care of that so I wouldn't have to see it.
Yes.
That's pretty scary and sad.
Well, before we move on to the bathrooms, let me just highlight this real quick. If you accept subpar work camping jobs, especially in the summer, you're kind of doing a disservice to every work camper out there, because what you're delivering, the message you're delivering, is that, hey, we're going to do this for free or just in exchange for our site, and there's no need to pay us. And as long as they can find someone to do that, then they're going to try, right? Mm-hmm. So it's best to stick, in my opinion, stick with the paid jobs, unless you're doing something very specific, like the state park jobs, where it's only a 28-day commitment or something like that. Mm-hmm. Let's get into the toilets.
Ah.
That's your favorite part of campground hosting, right, babe?
No, but, you know, it was doable, and I found that the more consistent of cleaning the bathrooms and keeping up with them, they would stay that way.
Yeah, that's true. And what our typical day was like, we'd get up. Usually we were camped at both in the summer. So at 6 a.m., the sun would rise. We'd get up, have our coffee, and then we'd get in our golf cart and hit all of our bathrooms. And we were pretty good at bathrooms, weren't we, babe?
Mm-hmm.
So, and generally, the general rule is the cleaner you keep them, the cleaner they stay, just like mm-hmm. Angie was saying. You will run into times when someone has completely destroyed that bathroom, won't you, babe?
Yes.
And that's just an inevitable situation. You're going to run into that, and then you're going to run into the squirrel situation occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Those were flush toilets at that campground that we had, and the squirrels would get in there and fall in the toilet and drown. And I used to have to get my litter pickers and put a trash bag over it and get the squirrel out of the toilet and flip the trash bag inside out and toss it in the dumpster. And I was always required to go in first and check to see if there was a squirrel in the toilet bowl. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. That way Angie didn't have to see it. She didn't have to witness it. The poor little squirrel. So,
and the fire pits, we would clean up the fire pits and the garbage areas, the campsites. And the cleaner we left them, it seemed like the respect was returned.
Yeah.
People would leave, you know, leaving their sites very nice for the most part.
Yeah, that is the way it goes. The cleaner you leave stuff, the more upkept they are,
mm-hmm.
the less work you're going to have to do in the long run. Because I think there's just something psychological. People typically, respectable people, don't want to destroy a clean environment. But if it's absolutely dirty, they're going to be tossing stuff on the floor and putting trash in the fire pit. You're going to run into that anyway,
mm-hmm.
but you'll run into less of it as long as you stay on top of it. That's the trick. And if you stay on top of it, we'll kind of get into this. So back to our average day. Wake up, 6 a.m., have coffee, golf carts, round on the bathrooms. About 11 a.m., people are checking out. We start going around and just making sure that all the sites are clean. And that usually only took maybe 1 minute per site, usually.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't that bad. And then we'd get back to our trailer, and we would check the Iron Ranger. That's that big iron post at the front of the campground where you drop your money in.
Mm-hmm.
The campground host is usually responsible for storing that money and
counting it.
Yeah, counting it and some paperwork involved with that. But by about lunchtime, you're starting to slow down a little bit, and mostly what you're being paid to do is be available to answer questions and, in some cases, sell firewood. There's this golden hour between checkout and check-in from, like, noon until 3. You have these golden 3 hours where you can eat lunch and catch up on some stuff around the campground. But it's not like you're working 100% of the time vigorously. You know, a lot of it is just being available, especially if you keep up on your bathrooms, you know?
And check out and check in time, that's when it gets really busy.
Yeah.
Now, in
the calm
Washington,
before the storm.
At Lake Cochise, there would be lines of people wanting to get in, and some of them didn't even have reservations.
Yeah, that's true.
And it got really stressful at times because people were impatient and thought that they should be the ones to be first.
Oh, yeah. And you have the endless problem of a reservation site. Someone's got a reservation for it. And then there comes someone in and ignores the sign. And then they set up camp on a first-come, first-served basis in someone's reserved spot. And then you have to mitigate that drama. So that's also a part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, if you reserve a spot, here's kind of a hack. keep one spot just off the radar. You can mark it as occupied even though it isn't. And that way, you've got an oh crap site. So if that happens, you don't have to tell the people, hey, we don't have room for you, you got to go.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. That way you don't have to kick someone out because they're in a reserved spot. You can say, well, I do have one spot available for you. Or, and that ran, we ran into times when people wanted to change sites for whatever reason. So that came in real handy.
And then we had to communicate parking spots when it got really busy.
Oh, yeah.
It would be overloaded, and we would have to go down and tell people to leave. And some people, when the water went down, they would even go and drive on top of the shore areas, and they'd get their vehicles stuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, down. And that you'll run into those campground-specific issues wherever you go.
But beware of the nearest gas station, the nearest tow truck places, hotels, stores.
You're going to be asked all those things. That's a great point.
Yes, everybody is going to want to know where to go to get what they need.
That's very true. Good points, because people will be asking you all that. And you'll learn it pretty quick, because you will also need things from those places.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so you've got check-in, and that can kind of be crazy. You get to a point, especially during the week, where you can kind of hang out in your RV and wait for people to come to you to ask those questions. You don't necessarily have to be out there herding cats as people are setting up camp.
It is good etiquette to, like, talk to each camper in your circle. In our campsite that we hosted, because there were several campsites, is getting to know the person and talking to them at that point and trying to answer questions as we would go and check them in.
Oh, yeah.
And give them all the information that they would need.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're lucky enough to get a golf cart, you'll make your rounds. Mm-hmm. So usually after about 2 hours after check-in, when we had quite a few folks in our campground, we would make our rounds on the golf cart. And many times people wanted to know exactly how to become a campground host. That's why we're doing this show.
Right.
So we would stop. And it is incredible. You meet some awesome people.
We love it.
You meet some awesome people. I think one of the coolest ones was we ran into that guy in a van, and his wife was hiking the Pacific Crest Trail.
Right.
And then every third night, they would meet up, and then she could sleep in a nice, comfy bed in the van. And so we were talking to him about that, and it was really, really cool. So.
And also, they do allow you to have your family with you and pets. Some jobs do, as long as you take good care of them and they're not loud and out of control.
Yeah, both concessionaires we've worked for, which was California Land Management before it became Vista Recreation, and then Explore US, allowed family, even visitors, to come and visit and camp in your site for free. So if you've got family close by and they come out for a camping trip, that's a huge Benny, because they can stay right there in your site. And we had family at Lava Lake for a week. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that was super fun. So you get everybody checked in about 5 o'clock, do your rounds, and then you hit your bathrooms one more time to make sure that things are still looking good. And like we said, the upkeep is crucial. If you keep them looking good, more than likely people will respect that, and they will at least try to keep them clean. And then you'll have your occasional surprises that you'll walk in on in the morning.
And also sometimes maintenance issues.
Yep. With
things do get faulty, and if they need repaired, then like a toilet or something that overflowed, flows, you know, you have to clean the mess and make sure it gets communicated to the maintenance guy.
Yep, absolutely. And another thing, so after that, you'll make sure that you collect all the money closer to the end of the night, after dark, usually about 9 or 10, mm-hmm. when everybody's in there, and make sure that everyone has paid. And you'll also get campers that'll come and pay you directly. But then you'll throw all that money into a safe place in your RV. And at the end of the week, you'll total all that up and do your paperwork before handing it in to the boss. And then that boss will take it to the bank, generally. So that's kind of the general gist of it. And I know it sounds like a lot of work. Would you say that we were busy all day, every day? I wouldn't.
No, I think my least favorite thing was writing out all the reservations, because had like 68, was it?
Yeah.
To write out. And
you have to do it every 3 days.
You had to be thorough, write people's last names down, and you had to do it right. You had to read the DARs right, or
the daily arrival reports is what a DAR is.
Or that can cause issues with
all kinds of things.
The wrong kind of reservation, and we'd have problems with people going into the wrong reservations.
Yep. And if you don't keep up on your signs, like if you decide to just let it slide, you will pay for it. Because people will say, well, on the sign it says that no one's supposed to be here, and you missed a reservation, and they're going to set up camp in that spot. But in reality, someone does have a reservation for it, and it's just going to cause you all kinds of headaches. We learned that the hard way. We
literally had people take the signs down
and
throw them somewhere.
Yep, you'll find them in the woods and stuff.
Just so that they could have that sight.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, hey, that's a day in the life of a campground host. There's a bunch of YouTube information on this from different people that have done it too. Just Google campground hosting, or if you're interested in the oil field work, you can Google day in the life of an oil field security RV full timer, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those guys make bank, but I mean, like $6,000 a month plus, but they're not allowed to leave ever. They commit to 30 days and they're stuck there.
So let's bring to light that how long is the commitment that
we were
told when we were implying about that job?
Yeah, so typically it'll be for a season, and seasons will start usually anywhere from May 1st to Memorial Day, and they'll end anywhere from Memorial Day to late October. So it just depends on your location and what the campground season looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so like when we left Lava Lake, it was 17 degrees and snowing. It was cold. Yeah. It was October 24th, I think it was. So
I left early.
Yeah, just a little bit, like 3 days. But yeah, take that into consideration. Oftentimes out there, you know, connectivity can be a challenge depending on where you're going. So as far as like cell phone signal. So you may need to, if it's that important to you, get a Starlink system or something like that. It is important to us. We like to have our TV and our internet and things like that, especially if we're living out there.
Yeah.
And it's not a trip. It's a lifestyle.
What I really appreciated about Lava Lake is they had a really wonderful store, and the managers there were really, really helpful about all the history of the area, and they were really kind, and they had a lot of good choices, and their prices were really reasonable there for their food.
Yeah. Yeah, you're lucky if you get put next to something like that,
mm-hmm.
with a little restaurant or a little store.
Rentals for boats.
Yeah, exactly. So just make sure when you're looking at these jobs, you're looking at the things around there to do and plan for that, you know.
To make it as comfortable as it can be for you.
Yes. Another kind of arrangement thing and part of your contract when you get hired on, they'll talk about your days off. Most companies, most concessionaires are going to try the best they can to get your wife and you, your spouse and you, the same days off, and they're going to try to get them together. And generally, like for us, we got 2 days off with both jobs, and we had a blast on our days off, didn't we, honey? I think maybe once or twice we stayed in the campground on our days off.
Well, we did, but we also went to Eugene and Springfield a lot to go and look out for my parents.
Yeah. And then
took care of them.
So we did that. And then the times that we didn't do that, we explored the area.
There was so much to explore. There were such really
different towns
wonderful
and things.
Resorts, too, where they had restaurants there and other campgrounds.
Well, and here's the thing, guys. You're going to save some money because you're stuck out in the wood for 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're going out to eat and all that during that 5 days. So we would go on our 2 days. We'd get a hotel room the first night out, and we would go and explore a local town and check out all the local sites and eat out and just have a great time, take a real shower in a real hotel room and get away from the trailer for a night, which is, for us, that was highly needed.
Yeah.
So there's that. Days off are awesome when you work camping. Just make sure that you get rested, and that's how you can kind of keep sane, because if you're stuck out there days on end and you decide to stay in the campground the whole time, it's going to drive you batty. Why?
People are going to knock at your door.
Exactly. Despite having the host off duty sign.
Oh, we've done that.
You are going to. They're going to say, sorry to bug you when you're off duty. And it's like, well, why did you? They will knock on your door and try to get you to help them, even though you've got a sign plain as day that says you're off duty. It's just a fact of life.
Well, it's just that a lot of people don't understand the first come, first serve rule.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's all kinds of questions, and they don't know who to call, even though you've got all kinds of signs up and everything else. You know, no one reads signs, so you're still going to get asked some pretty plainly obvious questions. Mm-hmm. That's just part of the gig. Well, hey, Angie, what do you say we take a break and come back with our RV pro tip of the week?
Sounds good to me.
All right. This is Mike and Angie, the Restless Nomads radio show, and we'll be right back.